So here we are, and the system is broke. American dream has gone up in smoke. So stop sitting there all brokenhearted. Let's get this motherfucking party started. Lady Liberty is ringing a bell, and we're driving us straight into hell. But don't worry, we got what you need. Crank up the volume till your eardrums bleed. Go and make America, America again.
Welcome everyone to the A Better Way to A podcast. We are your hosts, Andrew and Jordan. I'm Jordan, he's Andrew. And today we are here with Jackie Billings, the editor-in-chief from Pew Pew Tactical, somebody who we've interacted with a handful of times, and I never knew you were this cool. So I'm super pumped that you're on the show. I just assume everyone's got like a baseline level of cool, but it's also the gun community, so you can't assume too much.
That's fair, yeah.
I thought this was going to be lame.
I thought this was going to be, well, status quo. It's like, you know, yeah. I think it was when... Well, when you reached out and said that you were putting us in that article about t-shirts in the gun space, I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Sick,
and
tight.
Then we had a couple conversations, and I was like, all right, Jackie's one of the good ones. So
I try.
Wait a minute. Did we just become friends?
Did we just become best friends? Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I have admired you guys for a really long time. Like,
no, stop.
Not for reals. At SHOT, I was like on the lookout, and I was like, if I see them, I'm going to be that weirdo that just runs up and is like, oh my God. But I didn't see
you. No, I'm so bummed that we didn't like reach out to you and try to meet you, because there were people that we were trying to meet up with who we didn't meet up with. Mm-hmm. And there were people that just bumped into us and said hi. Like, it's just, we don't expect anything from people at SHOT Show. Yeah. It's chaos. Yeah. And
I was unmedicated for like the first time in months.
That explains a lot.
I think we were all
it's all making sense.
It was rough. The first day we were there, I had a plan. We all kind of had a plan. Mm-hmm. We were like, we made a list. Well, I felt like it was a little forced. I was like, all right, guys, we need a list of places that we are going to go. Mm-hmm. And I need everybody to contribute. And we are going to start from one and go down the list. And the first day we were there, we lost like half our group. We were like, well, we're not in the right area. Yeah, to find the place that's at number one, and the app is made by some boomer who doesn't know how to use a... It's awful. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just want to know where I am.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to like... I don't want to have to triangulate where I am by entering in my coordinates. If I knew where I was, the booths that I was at, I could just count because it's all in numerical order.
The podcaster knows where he is because he knows where he isn't. He can subtract where he is from where he isn't.
Yeah. And that's how he knows where he is. Yeah. On his way to fuck your shit up. That was the thing. That's actually the whole reason. You get the link after you've been home for a few days, mm-hmm. asking to leave a review. And I left a review like for everything. I was like, oh, it was great.
Yeah.
But the whole reason I did the review was to negatively rate the app, because everything else was great. Mm-hmm. I thought it was organized. I thought the food was great. I thought the staff was great. But the app is just like, it's like.
Can we talk about those little pizzas? Those little five.
The little pizzas. Were great.
At SHOT Show, they were good.
Little pizzas. Where was I? I miss little pizzas.
Jackie's like, I ate real food. Excuse me.
No, I ate sandwiches and like Nutri-Grain bars. I hoarded in my bag.
No, that's mostly what I ate, because my wife packed me snacks. I was trying to keep a budget on this trip.
No. She didn't pack him snacks. She like Target delivered Andrew groceries at the house. It was adorable.
And so like every day I would just like stuff my bag with like little treats.
But it was hilarious because we got like three or four bags of groceries, and they just arrived, and I never checked my Facebook Messenger. Mm-hmm. But I checked the Facebook message, and there was a message from his wife saying, I forget what specific snack she was referring to. It was the ice cream.
Oh, she's like, put it in the ice cream because he's going to freak out if it melts.
Yeah, he's going to get really upset if it melts. And I was like, did you really just go shopping for your husband while he was on a trip and have it sent to the house? Like, that's, your wife's great.
That's wonderful. That's love right there.
And I do want to tell everybody who's listening, wondering if Andrew shared his food. He did. He shared.
Oh, that's nice.
I think you had pizza rolls or something, or I don't know what it was, but you shared your food.
Corn dogs. Corn dogs.
Yes, the mini corn dogs.
Ice cream, whipped cream.
Yeah.
Tater tots.
It is nice eating like a toddler occasionally.
It is, yeah.
It makes me feel free. Jackie, so you've got a couple kids, and you said they're older.
Yes.
What's that like? Because right now we're chilling in like the Andrew's life is, he is like,
it's coming apart at the seams, man.
Okay.
We're doing relatively well with our one. She's okay. Almost three, and she's so much fun. But, like, you've been through it because you've got three. They're older now. How's what's, like, the teenager kid life going? How's that going?
It's weird. So I have a 14-year-old stepdaughter, a 13-year-old, and an 11-and-a-half-year-old. The cool. Two younger ones are boys. It's cool because on one hand, like, they can actually form, like, real sentences and they're, like, real humans. So, like, we'll sit and we'll talk about, like, things going on in the world. And they have, like, really cool, nuanced perspectives. And I'm like, wow, this is rad. And then 5 minutes later, they melt in the floor like a toddler because I told them they had to take a shower. Like, you know, they're like, God, Mom, what do you mean I'm already older? Like, it's not fine. And so, like, it's really weird because, like, we can talk about, like, my 13-year-old is really into World War One, World War Two. So, like, we have these, like, really
cool. Oh, watch that. Cool... Watch it.
Well, I know. No, I know.
No. I'm kidding.
No, I'm on that. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm just kidding. Hey, Mom, look at this memorabilia I got.
No. We don't do that. but we have, like, really cool conversations about, like, the history of that and, like, technology's place. And then that, like, evolves into this conversation about, like, how war is bad, but also it pushes technology. So are there things that can come out? You know, like, really cool conversations. And then, like I said, 5 minutes later, I'll be like, okay, you gotta go take a bath. And he's like, oh my God, you're the worst. So I have to take a bath.
You're killing
me.
You're ruining my life.
Yes,
you're literally killing me, Mom.
Right. That is exactly how it is.
My four-year-old went from, like, zero to absolute meltdown because I came out from I had to switch off with my wife. I was trying to get down for a nap. And my eldest was like, hey, can I watch a movie now? And I told him, yeah, we can watch a movie in a second. Just let's wait until goes to sleep. Wait until your brother goes to sleep. And I couldn't even, like, finish the sentence. And he was, like, rolling around on the floor like, no, I don't want to wait. I don't want to watch a movie later. I want to watch it now. And I was just like, okay, well, heard. However,
I will take that into consideration.
Right. Yeah.
Deep breath. It's okay.
Yeah.
There's no HR department for toddlers. Like, yes. They go straight to the source, and nobody's good at negotiating.
And it's tough because it's like the great struggle of my life is to not react how my dad would react to that. Same. It just clamp down on the urge to achieve stillness and silence by force. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, the fact that you're aware of that means you're doing better.
Yeah, I hope so.
For sure. It gets easier, kind of. It's hard in different ways, but at least they don't, I don't know, they don't try to throw themselves downstairs as much, or, you know, you're not actively trying to keep them alive as much, but there's a lot more sass. Like, and there's a lot, they're really good at logic, and that's kind of tough sometimes because, like, my 13-year-old.
Like, I'm not trying to be logical with you. I'm trying to get you to take a fucking shower.
Right. And he's like, let me tell you about the historical context of showers and why.
It's not a debate.
Yeah. And I'm like.
And how they're oppressive.
Yes. Like, just go take a shower. I don't care.
I don't want you to get skin lesions. Right. Bathe yourself.
That is something that we've tried to make a point of doing where, you know, my big frustration that I remember as a child was being told to do something because I said so. Mm-hmm. And then when asking why, like, I get at now as an adult that there are things that you have to do as a child that your parents just don't want to explain. Mm-hmm. But there's always a reason. Like, everything that I was made to do and everything that I tell my daughter to do, there is a reason. Mm-hmm. And I can explain it. Usually, she's getting to the age now where she can start to understand it. Obviously, it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
And she's three. She's not... Logic is not a thing yet.
Right. Well, but also there's stuff that you just literally can't explain. Like, I try to get my eldest to be quicker getting in and out of the car in a parking lot because I don't want to linger in a parking lot. John Correa would call a transitional space. And Barrett's like, I'm like, we gotta be quick about this, but it's not safe. And why is it not safe? And I can't be like, because we could all be murdered in a parking lot. You know, there are evil men lurking around every car to stab us in the back while I'm not paying attention. No.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to, like, traumatize him and give him fucking nightmares. So I just tell him, I just tell him like, oh, it's just not safe, bud. It's just not safe to be in a parking lot for too long.
You can, you know, and that's really the tough thing is, like, trying to figure out ways to give them reason at their age level.
Age appropriateness. Like,
Yes. Now that you're saying that out loud, I can in my head I don't know if I'd be able to think of this in the moment right there, but it makes sense to me. Like, I'd be like, well, because there's a lot of cars driving around and we don't want to be around
yes,
the cars.
Yes, that's what my
around.
Wife said. My wife said that yes. cars aren't always looking out for him and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. But like, yeah, that's like, I carry 90% of the time, and so far my daughter has not seen my gun.
My son saw it and was like, Dad, that's a nice gun. I like the color of your gun.
Well, so my daughter sat on my lap when I was appendix carrying. And which usually I don't like
and
do.
Just smoked
like,
your balls, dude. Just blew your dick dude. Right off.
Right off.
Yeah, my dick and balls gone like a Cracker Barrel.
Just fucking annihilated.
Yeah. No, because I have a good holster and nothing she can do around that area will ever. And it's not a SIG 320.
Oh. Wait, Instagram, they posted and the truth is
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah, no. It's back. I just love all these videos that people are like posting mm-hmm. now of just them going off while dropped.
Yeah.
And like, listen, I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't own a SIG.
I had a dog in the fight until very recently.
Yeah. Until it got shot. No, but so normally when we come home, I say, all right, Daddy, you'll be right back. And I go upstairs, I put my gun in my pistol safe by my end table. And then before we leave, when she's like putting her socks on or something, I'll be like, all right, I'll be right back. And I'll run upstairs and go grab it, put it in my waistband. But she sat on my lap. And no, of all things, she goes, is that your pee-pee? Josh,
no,
you're laughing
dude.
Through the wall.
No. She,
dude, and I was like,
Yes.
No, I think I said it was my pants because, like, she's asked, you know how when you sit down and you're in jeans? The fact that I heard Josh laughing through the wall.
No, it's just the pleat, dude. It's just the pleat.
Well, so she's asked me that before. Well, she's sitting on my lap or like she sees my pants because I'm wearing jeans and it's like the pleat from where your zipper is. Mm-hmm. She's like, is that your pee-pee? Everyone without kids right now is like, ew, this conversation's
right?
gross.
But, no.
But I promise you when you have kids, it's hilarious.
There's nothing off limits. Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah. I was like, no, honey, that's just my pants. And then she's like, why? I was like, I don't know. Because that's the way it is. You can tell because of the way it is. That's what it does. But that's one of those things where you could just be like, because.
Yeah.
Or my parents would have said because.
Do you, Jackie, talk to your kids about guns?
Oh, 100%. Yes. I have since they were, basically since
yeah,
they
let's
were
talk
born.
About something of merit.
I've always been big on gun safety because we had guns mm-hmm. in the house. I, you know, obviously am a huge gun owner. So that was something I started very early on with them. And actually, it's really funny we're talking about this because they were at someone else's house yesterday. And my 13-year-old, he texted me. And he said, Mom, there's a gun on the, there's two guns on the, on a bed here.
On a bed?
Oh, good.
Like sleeping?
I guess so. They were taking a nap. So I
tucked in,
called him and was like, hey, what's up? And he's like,
hey. Put your fucking guns
right? He's like, there were guns on the bed. I think they're Glocks, which I'm like, respect for knowing what they were. But he's like, I don't know if they're real or if they're like trainers, if they're fake. And he's like, so I just didn't touch them. I walked out of the room and I let you know because we, you know, stop, don't touch, leave the area, call an adult, which is like the Eddie Eagle thing. We've kind of just
that's awesome.
Done that. And I was like, hey, man, that's really great. I'm really proud of you. So, yeah, gun safety, stuff like that. Always talk to them. I never wanted them to be curious about it because I felt like that's where some people go wrong is, you know, kids will they're curious creatures, you know. So whenever I cleaned guns, they were allowed in on that. But that was an opportunity for me to talk to them about like, hey, you have to have an adult here. We don't touch these. You know, they are tools that we use, but they can be destructive if you're not using them safely and properly. And so I use that. They go to the range with me and with their dad. They've shot before. My 13-year-old loves the Glock 19. My 11-year-old loves his little 22. So, you know, they're pretty comfortable around them, but that's always been like a priority of mine for them to understand, you know, that, yeah, they're fun, but also there is a safety component and you have to use them responsibly.
That's a really interesting, I mean, it really makes sense. Like a way to introduce your kids to it is while you're cleaning it, because my whole issue, the reason why I haven't really taken the time to have a conversation with my daughter is right now it wouldn't be a conversation. It would be, this is something daddy carries to keep you safe.
Yeah.
But you know, the only time that I'm around her with my gun is when it's loaded in my holster. Yeah. And when I'm like bringing it to and from my safe, but bringing it out when you're cleaning it would be a great way, because it's there's no way if you're not doing anything unsafe, which you shouldn't be while cleaning a gun, that'd be a great way to be like, the thing is, she loves helping. Mm-hmm. She loves helping to clean.
Yeah.
And I would love for her to do that, but
you don't want her to get lead on her little tiny.
No,
little
I wear gloves when I clean my guns. Like I was gonna say Nomex. I wear nitrile gloves. You know, and I'm very like adamant about, I wear short sleeves because I don't want it getting on my clothes, and I make sure to like mm-hmm. just touch it with my hands. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I wouldn't want her helping, but I know because she's curious and she would love to, I'll probably just wait like probably another year
yeah.
or something yeah. like that. But what age did you start introducing your kid to guns? Cause I feel like if you're doing it in that context, I feel like you could do it really whenever. It's probably just like a preference thing.
I think they were really little, because I would clean guns while they were sitting their little jumpers or whatever, you know, when they were really, really small.
Oh, that's awesome.
But we really didn't start having the conversations probably till like 3 or 4. And I didn't want them yeah. like helping, touching the lead, but sometimes I would like let them put little gloves on and hand me tools. Like, oh, can you hand me the toothbrush?
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. that way they feel a part of it, but they're not getting all of that on them. And it was like low level. I mean, age appropriate. I'm not going into a whole like, you know, instructor speech about, you know, keep it down range or anything like that. You know,
never point the weapon at anything you did not intend to destroy.
Right. You know, it was just yeah. all very, you know, hey, mom, you know, and they would ask like, why do you have this? Oh, mom uses it for protection. Why do you need protection? Because the world can be a scary place sometimes, you know? And,
yeah.
But hey, we have to be safe with it, because these can hurt people. They can hurt you if you don't use it right. So it's important that you know how to use it. And when you get older, we can explore that. We can go do that together. But right now, if you see one, you let me know. And their attention span at that age too is like a goldfish. So you have to keep it kind of short and sweet. But I think it's the repetition, you know, like just the repetition of every time I clean a gun, we have this talk, and then it just kind of sinks in for them.
Yeah, that makes sense. I had my first moment with my daughter today where it was an interesting experience. So I've got this, we were listening to the Kaboomers, which if you've got a toddler, you know who they are.
Oh yeah.
We were listening to, we're going on a ghost hunt, and
oh, yeah.
there's a part in the song where they have a flashlight, and she was like, it was hilarious because the way she was holding her arm looked like, she was like a cop from the 80s, but she was holding her arm like a flashlight. And I was like, oh, I can do you one better, girlfriend. And I've got like one of our emergency flashlights that I have in a drawer. It's like a 15,000 lumen flashlight.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But I was like, yeah, she's going to play with a regular flashlight. And I said, we don't point it at your face, and we don't yeah. point it at yeah. anyone else's face. And I could tell she was like, okay. But then as she started moving it around, she was flagging me with it. Yeah. She was looking at it like she was trying to look at the bezel, oh, yeah. the bezel, mm-hmm. But like straight up in her eyes. And I was like, oh, no, honey, we can't point that at your face. And then yeah. she'd go to point it away and just blind me. And yeah. I realized like she's old enough to know what that means, but she's not old enough to execute it.
Situational awareness. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's like, so I wasn't about to be like, no, stop. No, mm-hmm. stop. Like, you know, you're flagging the dog now. Now the
everyone's blind at this point.
Everyone's blind and except for her. And she's just trying to help and getting frustrated. Like, I didn't want to do that. So it's interesting, you know, you see how your kid acts with a flashlight and whether or not they're able to practice muzzle awareness with a light before you give them a gun.
Yeah.
That's yeah. probably, I realized as I was doing that, I was like, wow, not that I would give my 2.5-year-old a gun, but you know, maybe when she can demonstrate this concept a little bit more successfully.
Right, right. Yeah. Here's a good object lesson in like why you don't give them a gun.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Something more forgiving than like a knife.
Yes.
They can carry the ammo for you.
Yeah, they shouldn't carry the ammo for me. She can carry a box, you know?
They're well suited to helping you with a crew served weapon, you know? They can perform
yes.
simple tasks.
Yeah. Yeah, their little fingers get into the feed trays nice.
Yeah.
So as an editor, you deal with toddlers at work too, right? Like
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all like writers are really, right? It's just.
do you find that the skills translate?
I think communication skills are universal. So
yeah.
if you can yeah. communicate with a toddler, you can communicate with just about anybody. So no, I'm really fortunate. All of our staff and our writers are fantastic and they're really great. But I think communication skills on across the board in any part in life is good to have, and being able to effectively get your point across, whether it's a 2-year-old or a 35-year-old is useful.
How'd you come to start Pew Pew Tactical?
So I didn't start.
Wait. That was the next thing I was going to ask. Are you like a founder of Pew Pew Tactical?
Or no. Okay. I wish I was that cool.
Oh, for some reason I thought it was you and someone else, but I clearly am wrong. You
obviously didn't do your research.
Please continue. Jordan. I did not do my research.
No, that was my job.
Okay.
I also didn't do it.
God forbid I just want to hang out with you, right, Jackie. I mean, geez.
Sorry.
I just, having a couple conversations with you, I was like, clearly she started this.
No, I appreciate that. I'm not that cool, though. No, our founder is Eric, and his wife is the co-founder, Paula. So he started it in 2014. He got into guns late in life as an adult, living in California, which is an experience. You know, was kind of learning guns on his own. And got, you know, was taking classes, eventually got into, you know, getting his instructor certification, all of those things, and was noticing that all of his friends who were now starting to get into guns were coming to him and being like, hey, what do I buy? How do I do this? And he kind of got tired of answering the same questions over and over and over. So he started a blog. He's
like, I'm going to put it on a
website. Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to put it on a website.
I'm going to put it on the internet.
And then here you guys can figure it out. And then it kind of blew up because of his approach, which was... very beginner friendly, no tactical bro acronyms or anything. Like, we're just, you know, we always say we're your casual gun buddy. Like, we just keep things cash. And then he was also very big on things being apolitical and inclusive, you know, that like, if you like guns, this is a place for you regardless. And if you want rhetoric, hey man, that's cool, but you can find that somewhere else. Like, we're just about information and knowledge. And that kind of resonated with people, especially around the time when he started it, when a lot of the gun blogs were very rhetoric focused, or that was part of it. So he decided to go full time into it in 2016 because it was getting pretty popular at that point. And then I came on in 2020. He and I had interacted at a few events, and I always thought he was a really cool dude.
When you say events, what do you mean?
Like media events, like press events. So we kind of interacted at those places, at SHOT Show, those kinds of things. And then he is right in the middle of pandemic. He messaged me and was like, hey, we're looking to expand. We want to scale and we need a managing editor. Would you be interested? And I was like, hell yeah, let's do this.
That's awesome.
That's kind of how I came on. And then I've been with him for almost 5 years. I moved from managing editor then to editor in chief. And I've been doing that for a couple years now.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, your name is on a lot of stuff. The first article on the website is by Jackie Billings, editor-in-chief, published 5 hours ago. And I noticed that when I was looking at other articles a few days ago. I was like, wow, she does a lot of writing. And, you know, for an editor, I don't know what editors do other than edit, but it seems like you're very involved. And I think that's kind of where I got the idea, like, oh, she's kind of got all these hats. You know, she probably is one of the people that started it. But, yeah, I mean, so you guys met and he offered you this job. What were you doing before that? Or was it something in the industry or was it something...
Yeah. Else. So I've been in the industry since 2014. So before that, I mean, I'm a journalist by trade. Like, I went to journalism school. I was going to be a newspaper writer. That's what I went to school for, was print. And then I graduated in 2008, and that was a great year to leave school and decide to get a job. It was right in the middle of a recession. It was perfect timing on my part. And I was kind of like at this juncture of like, oh, newspapers are kind of failing, but there's this new internet thing happening. So I jumped over there, started writing for a bunch of like digital publications, took a brief break to have kids. And then kind of simultaneously while I was in college, I got really into personal protection. I think like a lot of women realize when we get into college that like, oh, world's a little scary. Started doing like martial arts, that led me to guns. And then at that point in time, there weren't a lot of women like me in the industry. There were gun bunnies and there were like tactical Sarah Connors, which get your bag, ladies, I don't care, that's awesome, but that didn't represent me. And so, you know, I'm trying to figure out how do I carry when I'm holding a kid? Like, that's the information I need. Or
here, hold this kid.
Yeah, right? Throw it.
I definitely remember like the prevalence of, it was like boomer blogs or gun bunnies.
Yes.
And, you know, I was too young to appreciate like how like wild it was that those were the only choices.
Yeah, it was very limited. And I'm even going to ranges. I was oftentimes the only woman there. Fun story. There was one of the first times I went to a range by myself. I was told I was not allowed to go shoot because my husband wasn't with me. And the old dude behind the counter told me he didn't trust women enough by themselves to let them shoot at the range by themselves.
I don't trust anything that bleeds for 7 days and doesn't die.
So, like,
my wife left me, and now I don't let women shoot alone.
So that was the environment at that time. But as I started going to the range more, there were women who were coming in, and they started asking me, like, how do you do this? How do you dress normally, you know, like t-shirt and jeans? How do I do this like you? And so I started a blog, and I ended up going and getting my pistol certification to be able to teach through the NRA and my concealed carry permit, and started my own business and started teaching this to women. And then I happened to see guns.com was hiring, and I was like, well, I want to get back into writing, and I kind of am really into guns now, so this seems kind of like a natural place to start. So I applied. They rejected me the first time, but I don't give up. So I applied again when they had another opening, and I got brought on as a freelance reviewer. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. So for the next few years, I wrote for them. I eventually got put on staff as a news writer there. I wrote for Recoil. I wrote for Shooting Sports USA. I wrote for Concealed Carry Magazine, Concealed Carry to Call. Like anybody that would allow me to write, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll write. And then eventually guns.com locked me down as an editor, and I was there as an editor for a few years before PV Tactical snagged me.
What a .com boom name.
Right?
Guns.com.
Guns.com. Somebody was like, I really want it to be known what we
what
are
we're doing.
Like,
yes.
What we're here
somebody, for. Somebody sat on that and was like, man, I got to figure out how to make money off of this.
Yeah. Got to figure out how to make money off of this. It's
really
just
want
too
to.
Good.
It was licorice.com. I bought candy from licorice.com, and it came in a box labeled licorice.com, cookies.com, taffy.com, cupcakes.com,
they got it
all.com. And I'm like, who spent a fortune just snatching up? I mean, this must be some of the most valuable internet real estate.
Right.
Just guns.com. Anyways, that's the end of my rant.
Andrew, it says a lot about you that you think cupcakes.com is a the valuable internet real estate.
It is. Well, like just like the a one word cons and whatever. Anyways, point. Yeah. Point being, that's a lot of work. That's like a whole career before PP Tactical.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny that it seems like everybody kind of ends up in this industry very naturally because they liked shooting and they picked up something else along the way. Like you were a writer, but you were shooting before you were writing about guns. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I started this, I didn't know anything about guns. Like really, like I was, when I started this, I knew a decent amount about guns. Yeah. But when I like the transition from when, not as much as I know now, and I still don't know shit compared to like Andrew or our friend Kenny, who's like a savant.
I'm a little bit autistic. Like,
that helps.
Yeah, but like they'll go off on something and I'll just be like, I have zero clue what you're talking about. They'll be talking about an optic from the early 2000s that was like the foundation of an optic that's working now and in another country. And I'm like, that's cool. Like,
yeah,
I like that you like this.
And it did come at a cost.
shooting while drunk in the desert. That was in Minecraft.
Of course, I would never advocate using firearms while intoxicated.
Yeah, no, that's not kosher at all. We would never do that. But that's one thing that I've noticed about the people who, you know, typically end up in a spot where they're more influential is that it wasn't by and large, you know, something that somebody was like, hey, I have a job for you. You want to do this? You got to learn about guns. Mm-hmm. Or it's mostly people who are here because they want to be and actually enjoy doing it.
And I've never met somebody in this industry that's like, I fucking hate guns. I hate this job, dude. I can't wait to go.
Dude, nobody.
Serial factory, you know? Like,
yeah, not a serial factory. Yeah,
like, so, you know, just I don't know, something, anything else. Get me out of here, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. And that's an excellent point. It's like, I don't know, who am I thinking of? There was one person I met at SHOT Show who, you know, but even the people like, I let my first impression be my judge, which was wrong. And I forget who I was talking to. It was somebody from Glock. And I was like, this person seems like an admin person. Mm-hmm. Like that they like an intern.
That's a fucking
thing.
Pencil pusher.
Yeah.
Get out there and shoot a gun, nerd.
But then he gave me his card and it was like chief firearms something, and I was like, oh shit, like,
yeah,
just don't judge a book by its cover. That's
and also they're definitely like at media day at the range, which we were definitely invited to, you know, there was like a lot of people there that were like, you know, you try to like ask them something about the gun and get like a little blurb, and they'd be like, I don't fucking care. They're like, just shoot the gun, get some footage, and leave me the fuck alone.
I just work here.
Yeah. It's like I'm a loader in the fucking back warehouse. I don't know what this shit is.
You know? I don't know where I am right now.
It's not that they don't give a shit about guns. It was just that, like, you know, that what they were doing in that moment was not their favorite.
They forced all these introverts out into the, just like, please let me load Max, don't talk to me.
Yeah. It's windy and it's dusty and my face hurts.
Yeah.
That was a windy day. It was like obnoxiously windy more than once, where to the point where I was just like this with my eyes closed because the dust would come in waves. Mm-hmm. You just get sand in your eyes randomly. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. So you guys talk a lot about, I don't know how to say this without it being like, we were talking like how Pew Pew doesn't like to get political, but guns are inherently political, obviously. So it's political for a specific panel, I guess. Yeah. I guess you will. Do you, you know, obviously we've had our conversations in the past. Do you see a publication like Pew Pew Tactical covering more social issues in the future as they start bleeding over more, as like we've seen more marginalized populations start picking up guns and becoming not just picking up guns, but becoming avid shooters.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's going to get to the point where it is mainstream enough to be considered apolitical for a gun publication?
I think so.
To talk about like gay people having guns.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that before. We've done articles before about minority groups becoming more interested. We used to do Q&As with different kinds of groups, like the Asian American Pacific Association.
Ask a gay.
Yeah. just to, you know, highlight organizations that people might be interested in that might resonate with them better, if they're a specific kind of gun owner. But yeah, I mean, I say we are apolitical. We don't do the rhetoric, but we report on the gun industry, and social issues sometimes do affect I mean, there is bleed over that they do. We just are very careful in our reporting. Like, we have journalistic code of ethics and standards and procedures that we follow.
What's that?
Right? I know.
What? Is that
a thing?
You're supposed to have those?
Supposed to, yeah.
Yeah.
That I developed and that I've implemented, and it keeps us from...
Behold, I have invented ethics.
I founded the ethics.
That's right.
But no, I've you know, tried to take this thing that is inherently kind of political and make it as apolitical as possible, or at least reduce the bias in reporting, so that when you come to our site and we are reporting on these issues, you're getting the information you need. It's not my job to tell you what to think about it. Maybe I'm an idealist here in thinking that the reader is smart enough to glean what they want from that article.
Well, certainly some of them have to be.
I truly believe people are good at heart. They're doing the best they can, and maybe they are misguided in the way that they're applying this, you know, whatever it is they're fighting for.
I agree.
I feel like they're doing it because they don't either have the education, or they're not at a place in their life where they can see the whole picture.
Sure.
And if I can get you in the door with an article that doesn't talk about the rhetoric, that's just the fact, maybe it does help you figure something out.
Right. Yeah. Or at least it's like exposure.
It's exposure. Like, yeah. Like, maybe you didn't know that there were these groups that existed, and maybe you didn't know why they needed to exist, but you came in and you read a Q&A about it, and then you're like, oh, hey, that makes sense.
Somebody from the mountains of Idaho suddenly learning that not all Black people are gang members.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, that's weird. I didn't know. I'm not into like civility politics and like telling people how to talk to people, you know, yada yada yada. But like, I know that, like, I, as like a privileged white dude, you know, I know that there are people that if I just like chill out for a second, you know, I can reach them a little better, because it's safer for me to try to be able to do that.
Andrew and I have a very double pronged approach when it comes to talking to people who disagree with what we're trying to do. I typically will find somebody who is upset about the level of inclusivity that we advocate for, okay. and we'll try to figure out where that stems okay. from. Andrew yeah. just comes in and we'll say, "Cope, go suck on a grenade, Nazis."
We need both in life, don't we? It's a balance.
I cannot tell you how many times he's said things that I've wanted to say, but because I am commenting from the page,
yeah.
I can't. And I'll be like, "Dude, what did? Oh man, what did you say recently?" Like. Within the last week, you said something about somebody. I was like, that was amazing. I'm so glad I read. Oh, you actually had a really, like, well thought out and uncharacteristically level headed response to something.
What did I say? I must have been out of my mind.
It was on. You must have been really tired. Yeah. it was on. Like, no, I don't mean uncharacteristically level headed as if.
Oh,
like,
was it the Sherman thing?
Yes.
Yeah. The Sherman thing. We're selling a
General Sherman battle flag patch.
Yeah, where they pieced together Confederate flags to make a Union flag and used it as a battle trophy. And somebody was like, I don't think it's a good look having a Sherman flag on your store because he genocided the Native Americans. And my thing was like, you know, yeah, Sherman was a genocidal maniac for sure. You know, but when we're talking about the context of the Civil War and liberating the South and fighting the slavers, you know, we can kind of have like a time and place kind of discussion about these symbols, mm-hmm. and we don't have to be like Sherman is the best, even though we like the one thing that he did.
You mean nuance exists, context, and
yeah,
nuance?
We don't say. I don't think we're allowed to say the N word.
That's the N word.
But yeah, that is what we're talking about.
Hard N.
But yeah, whereas usually I'd be like, because you know, I think it helped that like this was a guy that was like coming from a place of like I care about marginalized people.
Right.
Yeah, no, and it's not like a person who we get guys that come in with like whatever Totenkopf profile stickers.
You'll always be a man. You
know? Yeah, and are like we're just like that's whatever makes you sleep right. better, dude.
Somebody who's like never actually met a trans person in person in his life, complaining about trans issues being shoved down his throat. Mm-hmm. Like, just yeah. I don't know, just like jump off a cliff, like just stop, stop existing, don't be alive.
This is exactly what I mean. It's like yeah. My favorite types of replies that we typically, well, more Andrew, will give to people. Somebody will say something, I don't know, trans, like, I don't think trans people should be in this bathroom. And he'll just be like, actually, it doesn't infect you all, and you should shut up about it. Hope this helps.
Yeah, hope this helps.
Hope this helps. Yeah. Hope this helps is like the...
Because somebody, a leftist, did that to me arguing about healthcare when I was in college, and it pissed me off so fucking much, and it stuck with me. And I was like, you know what? That's actually funny. That's actually really funny.
It is really funny. Yeah. It's really funny when you're on the giving end of it.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's... It's cathartic for the person saying yes. it. It is. Yeah. It's either going to be a come into Jesus moment or infuriate the person that is yeah. getting it. But you know what it is? It shows that you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It shows that like they do not affect you. And I think I think we need to practice more of that.
Well, I'm also the sarcastic suggestion that you're trying to be helpful when actually you're just trying to piss them off.
Dude, it's so good. I love it. I want to tell people that like in person more often.
But we can do that, Jordan. But Jackie, you guys probably have to. You can't treat commenters that way, right?
No. And we get our fair share. But I think I have to take the same approach that you do, Jordan, when you're policing the page. And I have to like take a beat and be like, "Wait, where is this coming from? Where could I meet this person at?" You know? Or I mean, we do get the egregious ones that I'm just like, "In, you're blocked." If you come with a slur. Sorry, you're off. We don't have time for that. That's just kind of our policy. Like, if you are being hateful, if you are being like outright homophobic, outright misogynistic, using slurs, you're gone. Like, no, that's not the page for you.
Seems like a pretty basic.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not special. It should just be, that's just the base level. But, you know, if people are arguing, like, I'll get that in the news article sometimes. Like, I reported on Kash Patel's appointment as the interim FBI director. And someone called me a bootlicker for reporting on that. And I was like...
For just mentioning that it happened?
For mentioning that it happened. And I was like, hey, you know, I understand that this is a very sensitive issue for a lot of people right now. But, you know, our goal here and my goal here is to spread information so that you are informed. I'm not, like, we're not saying anything past that. And if you look in the article, you'll see sources on both sides. Because that's part of our editorial standards is if we're writing on news... you are going to have, I'm going to have a quote from this side and a quote from this side so that it's balanced and that you can have a fair representation of the issue. And, you know, I try to approach it with education and understanding. And again, trying to see that most people are living their life assuming they are a good person. And maybe, again, they're misguided on something or they're not educated on a topic. And, you know, if I come at them too hard, that might put them off. But if I can try to meet them somewhere, maybe that helps.
Now, Jackie, you're not talking about empathy, are you? Because I've been made aware that that's the fundamental weakness of Western civilization. So.
I am actually. Nuance and empathy. Those are the worst.
Oh, God. I'm gonna late 90s bro tattoo those onto my shoulder blades.
Yeah.
Just be like, but in like Chinese.
With barbed wire.
Empathy. What does mine say? What does mine say?
Yeah, and you know, that's why I recommend you guys, because it's the same reason I recommend you guys and The Reload.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because both publications, you guys do a great job. And it's funny, when you said we don't get into the rhetoric, because it's you, I didn't have this like twinge. But usually when I hear the word rhetoric, it is from somebody on one side or the other talking about anything. It could be a completely objective fact, but because they don't like it, they call it rhetoric. Well, I don't want to listen to that, like the agenda.
Yes, the agenda.
Or the agenda, you know.
It's just anything they don't like is like the fucking conspiracy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're trying to change my mind and I don't like it.
You're presenting me with information that does not coincide with my preconceived biases.
I'm experiencing dissonance.
This is uncomfortable. I'm just going to go eat a bag of chips on my couch.
I got to dive into the actual articles on PP Tactical. You know, it's been a long time since I read like read a blog. I got kind of fed up with gun blogging with the truth about guns. That was like the apex of it when I stopped like reading on the internet.
What was wrong with them?
It's just annoying. It's just run by an annoying guy that sucks and everything that he writes is bad.
Okay.
I don't know if he still even owns the site. I'm not sure, but yeah, I got fed up. Well, I mean, that's way too much of a tangent, but point being, my experience, my impression of PPU Tactical is like top 10 listicles that show up on Google search and from like the mid 2010s videos of a dude running around in the high desert with a plate carrier, no shirt on.
Yes.
And more recently, I don't know the guy, but he would do these videos and he was just fucking ripped. And he was just like, I mean, honestly, like a really handsome dude. But, you know, he would have his plate carry on running around doing gun reviews. And
normalized
like,
dudes calling other dudes.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I'd kiss him on the forehead. But then more recently, shorts on YouTube of a guy with a big mustache telling me how to use machine guns that I'll never touch in my entire life.
Yes.
And I guess I have not been in the world of like reading things about guns on the internet enough to know that there's like a lot of like quality content on there.
We try. I mean, I try really hard. My mom thinks it's quality, so I feel like that should count for something.
My mom subscribes to our Patreon.
Dude, his mom was the first subscriber.
Oh my God, I love
Patreon.
That.
Yeah, $20 a month she subscribed.
Yeah. So my mom listens to this. My mom is, oh my God, I don't even know how to describe my mom. But to give you an idea, she's been listening to this podcast pretty much since the beginning. She's listened to most of the episodes. Mm-hmm. I found out like maybe a month and a half ago that she's been listening at 1.5 times speed without realizing it. And she just thought we were all fast talkers. She just thought we were all fast talkers on the show.
That is fantastic.
It's like, Mom, how long have you been listening to it like this? She's like, I don't know, because my mom has no concept of time or like, you know, a lot of things. It's what, you
she
know.
She exists in a fully separate state.
Kids do that
from,
to you, man. They just like alter time.
Yeah, it's not kids. It's alcohol. But yeah.
Oh, no.
I love you, Mom. My mom.
Accidentally finding mushroom chocolate.
Yeah. No, if I don't know if she's listening to this, but she'll laugh. She makes jokes like that all the time. She's actually like one of the biggest success stories of our family, just because it's like, I don't know. Subjectively, I would say like, I believe so, because you know, I think for anyone to get sober is crazy good. But yeah, anyway,
shout out to Mom.
Family's cool. Got a weird family dynamic in this house.
Shout out to Jordan's mom.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jordan's mom and everyone's mom and the mommies. and the daddies. Well, let's just hit check all the boxes. Daddies.
Do you mean like daddies or like daddies?
Both.
Everybody. This is inclusive.
Yeah, exactly. The daddies and the daddies. Yeah, but you know, so you, one of the articles that I was just perusing, you guys, you specifically wrote an article about how Utah added gun safety classes to the school curriculum. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things that I haven't seen anywhere else. I haven't seen anywhere else report on that. And you would think, at the bare minimum, a gun control advocacy group would be like, they want to put ARs in elementary schools and this is how people get shot. Which, something we've been arguing for years, is if something is an objective danger to children, like people claim guns are, wouldn't you want them to learn how to be safe around it? Like, we teach our kids to look both ways because traffic isn't going anywhere. Right. And we do things like put crosswalks in and, you know, pedestrian, like, raised crosswalks and whatnot. But, like, we don't just try to, like, get rid of cars because they're here. Right. We teach about that stuff. Wouldn't you think that adding school, like a school safety program for guns would be just a good thing to have, considering how many there are? But I've got my own feelings about Utah, okay? But I'm happy someone's doing it, you know?
I got feelings about Utah, guys.
Yeah, listen, I mean, all the kids and the six wives can take the classes at the same time because they're all done, you know, is it school curriculum or is it homeschool curriculum? Like, that's what I'd like to know. But anyway,
public school curriculum.
Yes.
No, for the 10 kids that do public school there.
Was that a serious answer to an unserious question?
Yes, very serious, very serious. We're very serious here. Utah's one of the most beautiful states that I've never been through.
You don't have to compliment sandwich them. They're not listening to us.
They're not listening. We've been declared demonic long ago. So anyone from Utah listening to this, leave us a 5-star review, please. If anyone's listening to this, leave us a 5-star review. It helps us a ton. I never ask for it in the podcast, and every podcast I listen to, people are like, leave us a review, and I think I should say that, and I don't. We've got, many people who listen to this podcast, we have 7 reviews on Apple Podcast. 7, not 700. It's just not a thing people think about. And if you're listening to this and you're like, what?
They're all Andrew's mom.
Oh, you heard that?
Yeah.
Shout out to Andrew's mom. She's busy.
Guest accounts. Yeah. Hell yeah.
She spaces them out so it's not suspicious.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I appreciate that. She logs in from different browsers.
She's got a whole VPN going.
A botnet. She bought a botnet from India.
You walk into your mom's house and she's got like a panel of smartphones on the wall. Like she's doing some like crypto or like Team U advertisements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave us a review. And if you like what we're doing, go to the Patreon. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, I'm really bad about doing that stuff. I never do that. And we used to stop the podcast, insert a Patreon ad, and then be like, all right, we're back.
Yeah.
And it's just so much better to just do that. All right, go to Patreon, leave us a review. Thanks, guys. So we got to make a plan. Next SHOT Show, we have to hang out. We've been making new friends. Well, this is how it works. Like, we spend the whole year talking to people. Mm-hmm. And then SHOT Show's our time to meet up. There are people that we have still yet to be able to link up with, but the desert shoot is always a fun time. You're welcome to come to that next year. That was a ton of fun. Bandito Bill and PSR and Yeezy. I don't know if Avi's Rails was involved in setting it up, but anyway, Dianexus, all great people. They bring their guns. A lot of them bring machine guns, and we get to shoot in the desert with friends. You really can't beat it.
It's a fun party for weirdos.
That's rad. I'm weird. I like parties. This seems natural.
My name is Jackie, and I like to party.
Right?
My name is Jackie, and I like machine guns.
Yeah.
Who doesn't, though? Like, that's the thing.
That's fun.
Yeah, Bandito Bill, never met him in person until then. And, I mean, anyone who brings a bunch of machine guns for you to shoot and you just have to pay for ammo, I followed his page for a while. He shoots cool shit. And it turns out he's a cool guy. Yeah, we always meet cool people there for the first time, and then we build up relationships throughout the year talking to them, and then, you know, meet again, and it's not weird. Yeah. We should definitely do something as a group or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Next year.
What do you guys do at SHOT Show? Pew Pew. Like, do you guys, is it all about the product reviews for you, or?
It's a little bit of everything. So our Our video team, which is Johnny and Sean, that's the beardy guy you were referring to.
Yeah, beardy guy.
they kind of go off and they just crank out content. They're just looking at cool things, doing really short kind of social media bits, filming, talking to people. And then myself and the other editors, Wyatt and Scott, kind of go around and we talk to manufacturers, see what's coming out. We publish two articles from SHOT Show. So we do a best, or three actually. We do best guns of SHOT, best gear of SHOT, and then like a best home defense, self-defense article. So we're gathering content for that. And then we're also kind of, you know, meeting with the different marketing folks because there's very high turnover in the industry. So we're kind of meeting the latest one, getting to know them so that we can get stuff in for reviews. And then Eric and Paula are usually kind of doing a lot of the business meetings, talking to various companies. We all just recently started a second kind of sister company called Shell Shock Protection. After years of reviewing and wearing eyes and ear pro, we were like, hey, we could probably do this better. So we started our own company making ears and eye pro. Yeah. So a lot of SHOT this year was just kind of meeting actual material makers like upstairs of SHOT Show.
We didn't go there.
Kind of getting stuff for future products that we're looking to launch under that brand. So everybody kind of has their own little thing that we do. I kind of act as, I don't know, corraler of everybody, making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, walking around, getting my 18,000 steps in each day, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of steps. They had a cigar bar outside this year. I think they did last year too, but I made sure to take a walk out there and take a I just foot and mouth moment there.
No, he likes to go to the ashtray and take the used cigars
and then just finish them off. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, I just actually licked the tips. But I went to this like the cigar booth and the cigar that they said you got for free. I smoke cigars, like I know cigars, but I always take a free cigar also, even if it's not a great one. Because you never know. But I went there, and the cigar they said you got for free was not one of the cigars that I saw in the box. So there was a cigar, and it was like Mullen Labe Tactical Cigars or something like that. And I was talking to the lady there. She was like, yeah, I'm with so-and-so cigars, the one that it said you got for free. And I was like, yeah, who are these jamokes, Mullen Labe? Like, I get it, SHOT Show, but, like, isn't that a little played out now? Like, oh, Mullen Labe Brothers. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's one of our other cigars that we have. And I was like, oh, those, okay, those are yours? I'm sure they're great.
Backtrack.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'm going to go buy one now. Smoking some Mullen Labe. Yeah. It's funny because, you know, we're in this area of the gun community where it's like very it's not vet bro-y. It's not how it was when I was first getting into guns. And that's what I remember about when I was first getting into guns. Like Mullen Labe was the thing. You know, come and take it. It was, you know, all Spartans. Like,
Oh, dude, everybody wanted to be a Spartan.
Yes.
Like, that's me. He's just like me for real.
Paleo Fox is her page on Instagram. She's like a bird biologist and stuff. I know it's probably more complicated than that. But her husband, I know we're deep diving now, is like a accomplished writer and wrote about the Spartans. And one of the things that he loves bringing up to people who are like Mullen Labe is that they were like hella gay back then. Like
they were gay and it was also a brutal slave state. Yeah.
Yeah. But they were just like, do you know the Spartans were like having gay sex all the time.
It was so mandatory. Like, actually. It's
cool, but just know.
Yeah.
Just know. And like it would make people super uncomfortable. But that's
they would come and take your spear at night for sure, dude.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, seeing the Mullen Labe cigars, I almost like forgot that was still a thing and still, you know, very prevalent in the gun community. So next year I'll have a little like buzzer to remind myself not to talk shit about a product until I know who owns it.
Who owns this before I make a commentary?
Yeah, is it you, the person I'm standing in front of right now?
In that case, it's great.
Yeah. Unless it's T-Rex Arms, in which case everything is shit and you suck. That's the thing that sucks though, is like, you know, there are people in this and you've probably come into contact with a ton of products like this where like the products are good but you don't like the people.
Oh, it happens all the time.
I can deal with that, but I find it much worse when I like the person but they've made some bullshit.
That sucks too.
And it's like, you are a wonderful person. I love your enthusiasm. I love where you're coming from. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want this. You know,
that was like when you gave me your box of junk.
Yes. Yes. I was like, put one item from this box of junk in every order just to like be so I can be free of it.
No. You first said it as like because I forget.
I had a lot
who...
of schemes for it. It's all.
Well, it was valid because there are other companies that do it. It was like, you know, for $3, you'll get something random. But one, it was like six things. So it wasn't like we could do it for more than six orders. And two, like they were so random. It was like, I didn't even know what half the stuff was. It was like a holster for a Makarov.
There was a stock for a Marlin Camp Carbine missing all the hardware.
Top quality thing.
Yeah. I'm like, it's literally garbage. I just like, I don't want it in a landfill, you know? I don't know.
He gave it to me. Somehow it ended up back. Oh, because you gave it to me in West Virginia. I drove home with it either by accident or because you didn't want to fly back with it. So yeah. I drove home with it. And then when he ordered something super small, I just put it all in a massive box and I shipped it back to him. He ordered like a two patches or something, and he got this massive box full of stuff that I just shipped back. It was like $35 shipping.
I thought I was free of it. It's still in that box.
I have a question from somebody from Patreon that I wanted to ask before I forget. So for those listening, one of the benefits that you get from being our Patreon supporters is we will let you know when we have guests beforehand, usually more than a few hours before, but my life is chaos and I just remembered to do that this morning. So Aura wants to know what, I think I'm saying her name right, wants to know what does the correlation between the meme gun industry and actual gun rights actually look like? I mean, like, T-shirt and morale patch and lifestyle stuff. Andrew, can you help me translate that?
Wait, where's the text of this? Is this on the drive?
I'll send it to you. The question is, I'm sorry, Aura, I'm sure this is a cohesive thought, but I'm reading it in a weird way because there's only one punctuation mark.
Oh, okay. What is the correlation between the meme gun industry and the actual gun rights look like? I mean, like T-shirt and morale patch and lifestyle stuff. She's saying like does making gun memes and shirts and merch and swag and streetwear, like, does that actually help with gun rights?
I think it's a good question. I like to think.
Oh, okay. When you read it like that,
it makes
sense.
When you read it like a human.
When you read it like you're supposed to.
I think that, I mean, look, gun memes and swag and merch and stuff is definitely not going to change gun control and the things that are being, you know.
Hey, you take that back.
Well, hang on. Ride with me for a minute. But I think
my shirt says Molin Labe, okay?
Right? But I think it gets people in the door. I think it's an approachable way to get people to see that, like, the gun industry doesn't always have to take itself so seriously. Like, we can be regular people who laugh at ourselves or who laugh at things in general, and we're regular people. We're not this scary kind of old boomer that you've been told is the gun world. So I think it's a stepping stone. It gets people in the door. They get comfortable. They're like, hey, this seems kind of fun. How do I get into this? Or maybe it's, I don't understand this. Maybe I need to go research this more. And then they kind of get into it. And maybe that will funnel them into a cycle of, hey, I want to be, you know, an activist for this. I want to, you know, go to meetings. I want to speak to my senators about this. I want to write letters, or I want to contribute in some meaningful way. So I consider it more like a stepping stone. Does that make sense?
That's an excellent answer. Okay. Yeah. No, I think that's great. And I couldn't agree with you more. There's a reason why not everything that we sell is like specifically gun. I have a shirt that says, you're only as rad as you treat other people. Like, there's no gun mentioned anywhere on it. It says a better way to A though. But so if you see that, perfect example. So Alex, one of the guys that helps us with our the shawls that we sell to fundraise for with Yellow Peril Tactical. Yes. He bought that shirt in a 4X to put on a 12-foot skeleton Halloween decoration. It was like 12-15 feet skeleton. Yeah, like he had to cut the back and everything to make it fit. But his neighbors were like, hey, what's that shirt? I like it. Mm-hmm. And he told them about A Better Way to A, and they went to the website, and now they follow the page. Nice. And like, it's little things like that where these people might not have even been gun owners. Mm-hmm. But now they follow the page. They understand a little bit more of the culture.
If this kind of stuff could be people's first exposure to the gun industry and gun culture.
Oh, my God. We'd be so much better off.
Yeah.
for sure.
Not to pat myself. That's what I mean. It's like
good job, Andrew.
If Pew Pew Tactical was the media source, or I'll say like the Reload, just so it doesn't seem like I'm sucking up to you.
No, that's not. The Reload is rad. I like it too.
I mean, like socially positive, apolitical, yes. Politically progressive kind of gun spaces.
Yeah. I think what most people think of, and exactly what you said, like it's not the boomer caricature type of media that it's not like ARFCOM, you know, where you go, which is a forum, obviously, it's a different type of medium.
It's a place where your spirit goes to die. If you would like to feel bad, you can go to ARFCOM.
Yeah, if you want to feel bad, exactly. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it's part of the reason I recommend you guys to everybody. If somebody asks a question about a specific gun or like what kind of gun I should buy, I've sent like top 5 handguns of 2024 article or whatever. I think it was top 5 handguns of 2024, but you guys did one like that. And I will literally Google the gun and then Pew Pew Tactical to see if you've written an article about it before I send it off to somebody. And if I can't find it, then I'll look elsewhere, because just it's very, there's no rhetoric. Like I'm going to use your word. There's no rhetoric. It's like, I want to read this to learn, not to feel. Yeah. I would argue that our page and what we do definitely is intended to make people feel a certain way, but like if that's empathy, then it's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not telling you what to believe. And in fact, we've said multiple times that we support everyone's right, even if we hate you as a person or dislike you as a person. I don't like the word hate, but if you're a shitbag, like you still have the right to own a gun and protect yourself and all that fun stuff. Yeah, I think memes are a great way to do that. Mm-hmm. We've done that before in some of our posts, where it's a relatively serious topic, but we'll make a funny meme out of it to kind of make light of it.
Well, it's a good icebreaker. It's kind of, again, a good way to get your foot in the door.
For sure. Andrew, do you have any other questions? I feel like we talked about child stuff, kids.
I feel like we did a lot of talking.
Oh, no. This is like the early days.
I'm getting flashbacks. Yeah.
No.
I feel like we did it. We did a lot.
We did. We covered some ground.
Jackie said she's here all day.
I literally am. It's storming outside, so I literally can't go anywhere.
We've got super fast winds. We've got fire danger all over Texas because of the winds. It's dry and windy. Not relevant. But now you know.
You know, it's funny. Like whenever we hear the news and there's like a tornado watch down by where you live, Jackie, or you know, Texas loses power for the 40th time in the year. Everyone in the Northeast is like, oh, sucks to suck, losers. And then like our home prices and cost of living is twice as much as anybody else. So it's like there are clearly trade-offs. Yes. Like, okay, you can live in Tornado Alley, but you can afford a home.
Yeah. We don't have tornadoes here in San Antonio. I mean, we have some, but we're like at the lower ass end of
some is more
alley.
Than Connecticut. Yeah. Well, actually, we had a tornado a couple of years ago.
I guess I should be more grateful.
Ours aren't that bad.
Pew Pew Tactical, what is it like? What is like the vibe in the office? Like, I know you're not gonna like say anything bad about your coworkers. I'm not asking that. But I mean, like, is it like very professional or is it like casual Friday every day?
We are just a bunch of nerds who like guns. And I mean, like the Slack channel that we have going, because we all kind of live spread out, the Slack channel we have going is just like memes and the occasional shit talking and just like jokes all the time. I mean, like, we
is it 9/11 memes?
I can't comment on that.
Please let somebody else.
okay please don't ask those questions.
But no, we just like to have a good time. Like, we all thoroughly enjoy what we do. And we are all so glad that we get to, you know, write and present videos or whatever our thing is within the company, that we get to do that. And we get to hang out and review guns and review gear and meet cool people. So, but it's very laid back. We're all just weird, anxious nerds who like guns.
I feel like that's the ticket, though. It's like, just find people who get you. And you're going to have a good time.
Y'all should put that on a shirt. Pew Pew Tactical. Weird anxious nerds.
Weird anxious nerds.
Weird anxious gun nerds.
Yeah.
Weird anxious nerds with guns.
Yeah. That's the vibe, man.
Yeah.
My wife constantly reminds me, like, whenever she listens to, Andrew. I was letting her watch. Letting her. She was.
Let's explore this some more.
I let her out of her cage and to the TV.
I gave her her allotted 20 minutes of YouTube for the day. She was watching our Vegas video. Every time she watches or listens to you and I interact with each other, she comments on our vibe. She's like, you guys just vibe so well together. I'm like, we're just both neurotic enough and like dysfunctional enough to work out and, you know, have a podcast. So it's good when you find that in a professional. This is not a professional environment. It's good when you find that in a professional environment where
if
it's
you
your
could
job.
Somehow capture that neurotic energy and make money off of it. That would be good.
It is optimal. Yeah,
we gotta make money off of this.
Man, I still am bummed that we couldn't. There were like a few. Well, there was like a whole bit we lost from High Point because of the mic troubles. But there was also like a bunch of like short bits I did where I would take a floor guns, I'd stick them in my
mouth.
Don't
say it.
Because I thought it was funny. I don't know. I was unmedicated. It's not my fault.
Okay. Objectively funny, not something we can put on the internet.
Yeah. And I posted it. I did my own cut of one of these bits where I took the Taurus revolver and I put the bit from the old Budweiser commercial, tastes great, like less filling, tastes great. And a bunch of people were like, you can't post that. They're not going to let you back at SHOT Show next year.
Well, that's why the only that's one fair. That I posted was like, I cut the video as he was like this. And I made it say to be continued because there's no proof that it ever happened.
Yeah, no proof.
Yeah. Well, it's like the dude got banned for saying Glock.
Oh, my God.
John Browning never jerked off a horse.
I couldn't believe they banned Duck. They must have just not liked the guy because, that was such a bullshit ban.
It wasn't even, SHOT Show wasn't even happening.
Yeah, it was like there were no customers around.
So for those who don't understand, don't know the context, I don't know the gentleman, but he made a sign and he stood in front of the Glock booth. It said, John Browning never jerked off a horse.
And he builds custom 1911s. That's his job for Alchemy. You know, so it's like a marketing thing for him, and he's joking around with Glock, who's a giant company, and they're just not gonna lose any sales over touching a horse penis.
But like
it's not a big
Glock
deal.
Does that? It's like part of their thing. Like what?
Yeah. Why are you ashamed? Why are you ashamed?
Glock should have been like, yeah, we jerk off horses, and we're good at it.
Like maybe John Browning would have been richer if he jerked off a few horses.
Yeah, maybe
burn.
John Browning should have jerked off a horse.
But no, they just banned him. They were like, he disrupted SHOT Show. Yeah, so I definitely not out of the question that we could get banned for something like that.
Definitely not. It's like I would say top of the list of things that will get you banned at SHOT Show, putting guns in your mouth.
That'll do it.
Which we didn't do.
There's no proof.
Yeah. That was actually a joke, but we do it for the people, you know? And
if that's you unmedicated, it makes a lot of sense.
Suddenly, like, the world is coming into full color.
Yeah, like, man, my level of understanding of just so many of the jokes Andrew's made over the years, like, I just... Wow. Okay. Now I'm thinking, like, was he joking or was...
Was he
joking or was he serious? But seriously, ranking guns based on mouthfeel should be more of.
I mean, that's an underserved niche, I guess.
Yeah. What does it taste like? Tell me. Show me. I also really liked walking up to the LMT guy and asking for directions to PSA.
Who's LMT?
They make like really expensive ARs.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that clip was in the video.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And he's like, I don't know. Well, like to be fair, nobody there knew how to get anywhere because the app sucked. And like they did a good job of labeling the end of the hallways, but like you honestly, like the way that it could not be set up better. Like it is set up in a good way. I think the placement of the booths, it's just there's no way they put Bluetooth tags in people's IDs the year before, but it did nothing for the person wearing it. It was all for them to have metrics as to show where people were going. They could easily do something like that. Like, listen, hey, this is a thing that's going to track you. It's like an AirTag. If you don't want it, rip it out like you did the other thing, but you'll have real-time guidance on where to go. I guarantee you people would be like, okay, yeah. There were a couple times I was like, where's T-Rex Arms? Like, we got to go up to T-Rex Arms and give them shit. And I didn't even know there were two other floors that were just like SHOT Show mid or whatever they called it. Like SHOT Show
mid.
SHOT Show mid. Yeah, that was T-Rex Arms was SHOT Show mid. Yeah, SHOT Show. Mm.
And Jackie, I don't know if you struggle with navigation 100%. The way that we do.
Oh,
but
completely.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The car was no different. That was really funny, actually. That was so bad. We got used to it on like day five, getting from the Airbnb to the show. But Andrew, I don't know if I'd ever drive with you.
Was it
why was
bad,
that bad?
Scary?
Andrew was like, yeah, Kenny doesn't like my driving. Kenny's our friend who is like the other end of the spectrum. And I do mean that in like, no, he's not autistic. He's just very responsible. And to someone like Andrew or I, he seems autistic because he's responsible. Kenny does not like my driving. And up until then, I had never driven with him. And when I'm in the passenger seat, I'm like trying to get B-roll, and I found myself unable to concentrate on the B-roll because I was like, Andrew, are your eyes closed? Like, what? Did you just fall asleep at the red light? Like, let's go.
I got a lot going on, you know? It's not just driving is not the only thing.
It's multitasking.
Driving is not the only thing. Not everyone knows how to do everything. Oh, my God. We should get him on the podcast.
Kenny?
That would be Tim.
Do you think he would come on the do you think he would come on a niche gun culture podcast? The guy that I think you should leave guy? We can ask. Do you know him, Jackie?
No.
I have a
Tim Robinson.
You don't know him? You don't? Oh, I assumed because you started Pew Pew Tactical that you knew Tim Robinson.
Yeah, you probably know all the Hollywood people.
Yeah. I have on my list of to-do things, email Bill Burr. As if that is a possible.
Do laundry, make dinner, email Bill Burr.
Email Bill Burr. Like, just, let me just go look up his email real quick. I'm sure he'll get back to me. But, like, listen, you don't know until you know.
Have you seen Bill Burr destroy podcast hosts? Like,
I fucking love it.
The way that this man can crush the spirit of a host.
If he were to do that to us, I would feel honored.
Yeah.
But knowing that it's Bill Burr, I don't think it would. I would like to assume that we would agree on a lot of things because of the things that I've heard him talk about and how I've heard him talk about them. That being said, if he just wanted to do it for fun and just like destroy me verbally, I would allow it. I'd welcome it because it'd be an honor. Like the goat? Okay. Yeah. I would listen to it as a motivational speech in the morning. Just him telling me how much of a disgusting piece of shit I am. I would love it. Like, that'd be so great. I hope he listens to this and is like, I'm not fucking coming on that show. This guy's a weirdo.
I'm not going anywhere near these fucking guys.
No, these fucking weirdos. Like, that's. But anyway.
I'm so sorry, Jackie.
No, you're fine. This is great.
Dude, Jackie and I were hanging out for like 25 minutes before you got here. And it's so funny because we have these, we've gotten a lot of really good guests. And I would say 95% of the people we've just vibed really well with.
It's so hard to like comprehend. We've been doing this for like 3 years. We've got like, what do we have, like 150 episodes or something?
77.
77.
Nobody's good at math here. It's fine.
If you chop them up into half hours to syndicate, then it's actually a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, and that's another reason to go to the Patreon, because we're releasing all the old episodes there that were lost when we had to purge the old episode. We had to purge the old podcast, unfortunately. Putin was tracking us.
Yeah, it was a Russian intelligence operation targeting us, and we didn't want to give up any information that could.
That's 100% it. Yeah, like so. Jackie and I were talking before you were here, and it usually within the first couple minutes I can tell what the vibe of the episode is going to be. And with you immediately, I think it was like, as I apologized for being a few minutes late, I don't remember what you said. I was like, oh, she's going to be cool. Like, you're exactly how you are online. Not that I expect you to be different, but super personable, super easy to talk to. And like, we were talking about our kids and stuff like that. There are people, though, who I think have different expectations of what they're going to find on this podcast, be it more professionalism or just, you know, something other than two guys in t-shirts in their basement, my basement, but
t-shirts and nothing else.
T-shirts and nothing else. That's the great thing about being on webcam. But like, you can tell it's all business. This has been fun. This has been a great time. I think the vibe was good. I think the chemistry here was not weird.
Yeah, not creepy.
I'm doing this with my hands, and I wish I wasn't doing this with my hands.
But now it's creepy. Why did you do that?
It's creepy. God damn it.
It's not weird at all.
This is just such a good vibe.
Yeah, as I'm doing this with my hands.
It's been a great podcast, guys.
It's so good. All right. We're never going to get any. This is the last podcast episode we'll ever do. Jackie's going to be like, I felt uncomfortable.
Personally victimized.
I was in a director's meeting on Zoom, and one of the.
Director?
No, like for a company.
Like one of those movies?
Adult films?
No, I make man-child films. No, but she's like, we were talking about like, you know, doing meetings on Zoom and like, you know, not having to wear pants. And she was like, God, I've lost the details. This is gonna be a shitty story. But there was a dude that got caught like jerking off in a work meeting. Oh, it's because we were talking about how Zoom defaults to a camera off when you join a meeting now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, too many people got caught, you know, not wearing pants. And she was like, yeah, like that one guy from whatever company. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She was like, you know, that thing that happened. And I was like, no, what is it? And then in front of all of the board of directors, unfortunately, unknowingly had her explain the situation of a dude caught like masturbating on camera. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that happened. I'm so sorry that we had to talk about this.
I'm so uncomfortable right now. I don't know
why. And now it's like, happening again.
Now it's happening to you guys.
Is this how you felt when you were listening to me?
Who knows where I'm going to bring this up next.
A children's birthday party coming too soon.
Yeah. A children's Zoom birthday party. Yeah. Yeah. You guys remember back in COVID when everybody was going to school on Zoom? Well, this one guy. Oh, man. Anyway. On that note,
I ever tell you, son, the story of the man who's fired on a Zoom call.
Yeah, those would be the stories that we're telling people. Yeah. Like our kids.
In the nursing home.
Did I ever tell you about the lawyer who was not a cat but appeared to be a cat?
That's a deep cut.
Yes. I appreciate that.
That's awesome. I don't know what's going, or was it a judge? One or the other. It was awesome either way. It was a great video.
Thanks for coming on the show. I'm so sorry for the way I am.
Bye. If you had a piece of advice for people, what would it be? Could be anything related to what we've talked about. Gun related, not gun related.
Quality of life. Just a little tip. Something people are sleeping on.
We've had people like call back and be like, no, wait, I want to change it.
I would say listen more, talk less. That's not directed at you guys, by the way, but just like in general, I think
noted.
You know, I think people should listen more, because I think especially right now, the state of the world, people want to talk a lot and say their opinions, and that's fine, that's great. But I think if we listen to each other more, we find we have a lot more in common than we do apart.
I tend to agree with you. Last time I said that on
Hey,
the
shut
internet,
up. I want
to
say something. I'm sorry. Oh,
I was like, okay. I was like, what the fuck, Andrew?
I'm so sorry.
That was amazing.
I'm so sorry. What were you saying? I want to hear it. I'm sorry. I couldn't stop.
I wasn't expecting it at all. It was actually like somebody pulled the rug out from underneath me. I was not expecting it at all.
I'm so sorry.
You're okay. You're okay. No, I agree with you 100%. I think people read too far into that, and they think that at least from the interactions we've had, some people, for some reason, take it as we are telling you to go talk to, like, be friends with Nazis by saying you have more in common with somebody on the other end of the political spectrum than you don't. Like we said specifically, you have more common with somebody on the other end of the political spectrum than you do with Donald Trump or Elon Musk or like the top 1%. I don't even think I mentioned them because I wanted to leave it intentionally vague.
Like in the wake of the
floods, I said like people are like helping you clear out the rubble of your house. They're not asking you what your politics, you know, they're just helping you because you're a person. And I feel like that kind of humanity is lost when we boil people down to the essence of what their like most controversial political opinion
is. A lot of
is.
Things are lost when you boil people down, but that is one of them.
Yeah, when you reduce actually would be the word. That's really funny that I just instinctively said boil people down and it means reduce in a cooking sense. And if you were to reduce a person by boiling them.
That's etymology, man. It's all related.
Whoa.
No, but yeah, but there's like definitely a group of people that heard us say that and were like, you know, I a disabled trans otherkin do not feel comfortable talking to a conservative because they will kill me if I do.
No, they went farther than that and said, no, we're telling trans people to put themselves in harm's
way
to talk to Nazis.
100%.
Like,
if you don't feel safe, don't do it. I'm talking to people like me, like, you know, people, you know, it's like.
Or anybody, if you feel safe. Mm-hmm. Like, anybody, if you feel you have the ability to talk to people.
Like, do it.
Yeah.
If not, don't worry.
Don't do it. It's not a mandate.
Yeah.
It's a suggestion. And yeah, this person took it way, way out of.
I say like people, but it really was only like one or maybe like a couple people.
We've already established you're not great at math. It's okay.
I mean, you don't know how right you are about that.
He forgets he has three kids sometimes.
Where did this one come from?
I do.
Where did this come from? Yeah, well, yeah, why don't I remember this one? I'm just kidding, Andrew. That was
mean. Who am I?
3 for 3 has been putting out adorable kids. It's like usually you think by the third one.
Yeah, you might have like one throwaway, you know.
Yeah, one throwaway.
Oh my God, my dad saw a picture of my daughter and was like, hey, she's pretty cute, but she might need a nose job. You know, like a little joke. And I got pretty mad about it. I was like, you first, Dad. But
yeah, it's not like I'm going to internalize that at all.
Well, and I was about to go on about like, cause this isn't like a family group text. I was going to, you know, just be like, hey, like, I understand that that's a joke, but you can't joke like that. Even if it's a joke, if she hears you saying that, if she learns language, it will affect the way that she feels about it, blah, 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 blah. Before I even had a chance to do it, my sister just fucking ripped his nuts out of his throat. Like,
it was great.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit. Like, I was like mad, but like my sister was like, you just like imagine like you're like just being consumed in hellfire, mm-hmm. you know, like
pure rage.
So your sister had like generational trauma that she had dealt with the repercussions of as a result of how your father had treated her, and was then using that time to express her frustration with that, and which totally valid.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, okay, you got it. It's fine.
Yeah, this is if we wanted to do this for another hour, we could talk about not passing on trauma to our kids.
We'll do it. We'll save it for part two.
We can do that. We've been going. Yeah. Hour and a half is a pretty good podcast. I mean, we've got like a good 25 minutes of the Patreon. We've been pumping out like a couple hour long podcasts recently.
I think people like the hour and a half better.
I know John specifically from Yellow Peril Tactical does like shorter podcasts, because every time he'd listen to an episode, he'd be like, bro, what's up with these long podcasts?
No, we would have like 3 hour long podcasts, and
we had like a couple, and they were long. We in the early days, I'm so glad we just stopped doing this. In the early days, the only times we would be able to figure out our availability was like we would start a podcast at 11 o'clock at night, my time, 10 o'clock at night, Andrew's time, because it was after he put his kids to sleep. There were multiple podcasts where we had to stop because I was falling asleep, one or both of us doing it, and I was like, time to go.
That's dedication, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something. It's definitely, I mean, it's definitely something. It was, but you know what? It was a good time. And I think we've learned a lot. Calendly is our friend now. I've been using Calendly to like just track our availability and then just asking people when they're free, like I did with you.
And then I completely forgot that weekends existed. I was like, Wednesday or Thursday, because Saturday or Sundays don't exist to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I do the same thing. Like we had a guest who recently had to reschedule, and I respect the hell out of her position on it. She's like, I don't like to work on weekends. And I was like, that's awesome that you are drawing a boundary there, because more people should do that, as we're all here on a weekend. But boundaries are subjective, whatever they are for you. But I was like, I respect the hell out of that. That's good. Have some time for you, sure. Queen. But yeah, on that note, Jackie, this was awesome. I appreciate you coming on. We had a lot of fun. Please thank your kids for and your husband for loaning you to us for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Hope you guys stay safe with the storms and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. This was a blast. Definitely like probably the most fun I've had on a podcast. So.
Oh, stop.
That's awesome. Leave a 5-star review.
For different VPNs, right? Like different accounts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, leave at least 10 5-star reviews, please.
We're just two guys bullshitting, and so glad people like listening to it.
Honestly, like I, every time someone like recognizes us or is like, you know, hey, like anything positive to say, I'm like, you don't mean that.
Oh, I'm the same way. I'm like, I don't, why do people think I'm an adult? Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Because your name is on the internet.
Any moment now, multiple we're going to be times. Caught and exposed as three raccoons in a trench coat.
Yeah, or somebody's going to dig up an old tweet from 10 years ago. I didn't have Twitter back then, thankfully.
Yeah, same.
I'm very open about the fact that I was a very different person, like, 15 years ago.
I think that was what our first episode was about, actually. 200 episodes ago.
I was never like a racist or a bigot or anything like that, but like I definitely had some less educated and less views that were not influenced by other people's perspectives.
I would cringe. Like, so I will say, I would cringe because I didn't even know what cringe was back then, but now I do, and I would feel it.
I would feel cringe right now.
So wait, we've talked about empathy, nuance, and now we're saying that people's perspectives can change as they gain new information.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah. What? I had a really, like, I don't know what other word to
describe it. It's called flip-flopping.
Yeah. God damn, yeah, I want you to believe what you believed when I voted for you in 1954. I had a super, like, cozy interaction with somebody on an anti-gun page the other day. This person was, I put, like, a very well thought out, I think, response to a post, and this woman was just like, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, well, if you have a rebuttal, like, I'd be happy to hear it, you know, yada yada. And this guy came in and was like, essentially, like, you're a piece of shit to the woman who said that. And I was like, hey, man, don't be mean. Everyone's on a different point in their enlightenment journey. And he was like, you know what? I'm sorry. I just got upset and I didn't mean that. And I was like, it's cool, man. We all do it. And like, we're just like, yeah, like, it wasn't even to me. I was like, hey, don't be mean to the lady who doesn't know what she's talking about, because, you know, we're all figuring it out.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I apologize. I'm sorry. And like, sometimes you just need somebody to be like,
not cool, dude.
Yeah. My dogs sometimes, man, bring out like this side of me that's just, it's not angry, it's not abusive, but it's like,
you shit talk your dogs?
No, I don't shit talk my dogs. Like, so my dog bit my face once by accident because I woke him up from my dead sleep and he was sleeping on my pillow. And for those listening, I have a Chihuahua. He's 14 pounds, which is roughly the weight of a shot put. And he was laying on my pillow. He looked adorable. His head was poking out of the covers. And I was like, I have to boop his snoot because he's right there. So I kissed him on the nose. And he did what any sleeping dog in my position would probably do. He bit my chin. And as a reflex, palmed him in my hand and I launched him 6 feet in the air off the bed. And this dog was airborne for like a few seconds. And he landed on his feet. He was fine. But we were both like, what the fuck happened? Like, I apologized. He apologized. We're good. But like, there is a side that like, she's done wonders of repressing or helping me deal with.
Yeah.
Not repressing. But like, where I would just, certain things would happen back in the day where I would just like go red. And I would just, bro, I'm just, when I get angry, I just black out.
No, Jordan, you know what happens when you fight.
Yeah, I know. Like, not even in a good way or in like a cool, it's just like, I act like an idiot.
Yeah.
That. Like, I would just like throw dogs. Throw dogs type anger.
Every time I would get mad, I would just cry.
It's not the worst way.
I would get like mad at somebody. I'd just like start crying.
That's not the worst. I mean, you're not throwing dogs across the room.
No, but it's definitely like a sign of some unresolved issues.
If you're in high school getting mad at people and crying, it's going to be rough for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are definitely less productive ways to show your anger though. But anyway, now we're getting tangential and we could keep going down this road for as long as we want. We will
get your hands off my tan genitals.
That's got to be a new podcast shirt. Not the Subaru one anymore. Don't touch my shirt.
Guys, I'm gonna go. Thank you for hanging out with me.
Oh, Andrew's getting angry. He's starting to cry. we'll have you on for a part two at some point, and we'll just shoot the shit and see where it goes.
Sure. Unlike this time.
Unlike this time where we were totally structured and had every intention of talking about the things that we talked about.
At least we got a Patreon question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Heck yeah. Jackie, thank you so much for coming on. This time, what did you say?
She paid money to ask that question.
I know. And I couldn't even read it properly. I'm like shit talking the question and you just read it differently and I was like,
yeah, it makes sense.
Sounds coherent. So sorry, Aura. I think I'm saying her name right. I want to say Aura.
It's like, actually Aura.
Aura. That's a nice name regardless, even if I can't pronounce it. Andrew's daughter's name, the first time he told me, I was like, I don't know how to say that and I don't want to offend him, but it sounds nice. And then he said it and I was like, oh, okay, it sounds exactly like it's spelled. Yeah. That's cool. It's a very sweet name. It's a very cute and unique name and I love it. And such a sweet little munchkin face. God, I can't wait to meet her. Anyway, all right, Jackie,
no,
I'm sorry. This time we're leaving.
We're actually leaving.
We're going.
Okay.
We're actually leaving.
Wait, but don't leave.
Bye.